video. My, when you think about what Jesus does, it's amazing, isn't it? Saving, keeping, helping, loving. Can't ask for more than that. In this world in which we live, so we're so glad for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Open your Bibles with us this morning to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. And I looked over the congregation earlier and I didn't see anybody visiting, but I do see folks visiting back here with Lisa. Lisa, tell us who's back there with you. All right, so what's the relationship? Oh, you're neighbors too. All right. How can you beat that? Somebody related to your neighbor as well. So that's good. Good to have them with us. Appreciate you being here this morning. And trust that you'll want to come back and see us again. Especially since you live close to Lisa. That's great. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. I'm going to emphasize verse number 13. Hold fast the form of sound words. Or hold fast to the word, or to the truth, to sound teaching. Very, very important in these days. Let's bow our heads and hearts in just a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity again to be in your house. How good it is to come together as like-minded believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and letting the Holy Spirit work in our midst to help us to sing and to pray and to praise the Lord, and then to open the precious Word of God together. Thank you so much for this opportunity to be in your house this day. We pray now, Father, that you'll open our hearts to your Word, that He, the Holy Spirit, may speak to each one individually, that those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ might be challenged to receive Him as personal Savior, and those who are saved by your grace, Father, may they just be encouraged, may they be strengthened, may they be built up, may they be rooted, may they be established in the Word of God. Father, we just pray that you'll have your will and your way in each of our lives. For we do humbly ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, so it's a message today to encourage us to hold fast, which simply means to continue in the things of the Lord and keep them close to us and keep them close to our hearts. So that we may be doing those things that, of course, the Lord wants us to do and also bring glory to Him. Now, if you remember, in the 2 Timothy, Paul's second letter to Timothy, you remember Paul was released for a while from his first Roman imprisonment for a short period of time. And during that time, he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus. Then 2 Timothy, however, finds Paul once again in a very difficult place, in a Roman prison. And we find that out by chapter 1, verse 16, and also chapter 2, verse number 9. Apparently, he was rearrested as part of Nero's persecution of Christians. So he wrote this letter to his beloved son in the faith to encourage him to remain strong in the Lord. In fact, that's what he's teaching in chapters 1 and 2 of 2 Timothy. Remain strong in the Lord. Keep your nose to the grindstone a little bit. Let the Word of God saturate your hearts and lives as believers and stay true to what you have been taught from the precious Word of God. So he teaches him to remain strong in chapter 1 and 2. And then in chapter 3, we see that he explains perilous times. He says, Timothy, says perilous times are coming, difficult times, dangerous times are coming. And so we need to be ready. We need to be prepared. And folks, not our dangerous times, perilous times coming in our time. They are with us, aren't they? They are here. And so we need to know how to react in these dangerous times that we're living in. And then, of course, to urge him to come to Rome in chapter 4. He urged him to come to Rome as soon as possible. Paul knew that he was facing execution, and is not knowing whether Timothy actually made it to Rome before Paul was executed or not. But that's what he speaks of in 2 Timothy. Now, this is a very personal letter, I think, and it focuses on faithfulness in the ministry. As believers today, of course, living in those perilous times that Paul was writing about centuries ago, we must be true. We must hold fast, you see, to our faith. And not only that, he tells us about that in verse number 9. He talks about our faith. We need to be reminded over and over again of what the Lord has done for us. And he says, he talks about the Lord's Jesus, and he says, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, according to not according to our works, certainly not, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So he talks to Timothy about what Jesus Christ has done, not only in time, but what Jesus Christ has done in eternity past. And so very important for us to also understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us, so that we will remain true to him. And then he also tells him in verse number 6, to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance of these things that he had taught, that Paul had taught him, remembrance in the things that Jesus Christ had done for him. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands, by the approval of the Apostle Paul. Now, God had called Timothy to the ministry and to the work, but we see that Paul had approved of it by the laying on of his hands. So he says, I want you to stir up that gift. Which is in you. And that's a good thing for you and I today to be thinking about. Every believer has a gift. God has given you a gift. And we need to stir up that gift and use that gift, you see, not only for our own benefit, but for the benefit of the entire congregation of the church. And so stir up the gift of God, which is in you as a believer. So I want to suggest just a few things we need to hold fast from the Word of God this morning. Of course, first thing is found in verse number 13, when he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So what is he saying? Hold firm to the complete revelation of truth that had been given to Timothy. And he calls them sound words. And they are sound words. They are not only sound words, but they are healthy words, you see. Words which will build us up and strengthen us as believers. So hold fast, you see, the complete revelation of truth. That's what the truth is. It's sound words. It's wholesome words. It's healthy words. It's words that, of course, that will help us and strengthen us as believers. Now, Paul had been given, you remember, divine revelation by God. And he had been faithful to share the truth, of course, with others. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. Of 2 Timothy, and verse number 2, we find these words. And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So Paul is encouraging Timothy to remember what he has taught him. He has taught him the truth of the Word of God. And then he says, Timothy, then you are responsible to pass on this teaching to other men, of course, so that they too can continue to teach the truth of the Word of God. So we see that not in those verses, and then in chapter 3, verse number 14 of that same passage, 2 Timothy, he says, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. You see, he continually is saying, look, I have taught you these tremendous truths of the Word of God. Timothy, I want you to continue in these things. I want you to be steadfast. I want you to hold fast to these things which I have taught you. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Boy, it's important, isn't it, to know where we have learned the truth that we have learned. And so Timothy could be encouraged because Paul, the apostle himself, the man of God who had been revealed of God these tremendous truths, Paul himself, this great apostle to the Gentiles, was the one who taught Timothy these great truths of the Word of God. And then in Philippians, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 9, we see these words as well. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And so Paul's talking to the believers at Philippi at this point, but he's also talking to you and I as well, that we of course think of those things which we have learned and received and heard. And then, of course, he says, and you have seen in me, he says, I want you to do those things. So he's encouraging these believers to be doers of the Word of God, not just hearers only of the Word of God. And, of course, This generation of believers need to be well grounded in the Scriptures. I don't know of a time in history when people really needed to know the teachings of the Word of God and needed to know what the Word of God has to say, because there's so many naysayers out there. There's so many deceivers. There's so many who do not tell us the truth any longer. So it's up to you and I. It's our responsibility as believers to get into the Bible, to the Word of God, and see these things that God has taught us. In fact, Paul speaks to Timothy about that in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse 15, 16. Very familiar scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable to the for doctrine, for beliefs, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and do all good works. If we're going to be able to do the things that God wants us to do, we have to know the Word of God. We have to know the Scriptures, because the Scriptures, that is what is inspired of God. And so we need to take that into our hearts and to know that. We have got to be well-versed in the Scriptures in these latter days. You see, because There's one thing which will combat Satan and will combat evil forces, powers, and principalities. It's the one thing, you see, which will help us to stand against all the deception that's in this world today. So we must put on, you see, the whole armor of God, and then we must use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, which is truth, you see. Truth is our protection against the world. It's our protection against the flesh. It's our protection, of course, against Satan. Because we know that in John chapter 8, he tells us in that chapter that Satan is a liar. He is a liar, and there is no truth in him. So if we're going to withstand the onslaughts of evil men and evil teachers and Satan and all these powers that surround us today, we must hold fast, you see, to the truth of the Word of God that's been revealed in the Scriptures. So we need to hold fast to the complete revelation of truth that is given to us. You remember, Jude talks about that we are to guard that whole body of truth that has been given unto us as believers in Christ. Then secondly, we must hold fast our confession of Christ. In verse number 12, Paul says, because of what God has done in my life, because I have been saved, because I have been called by God, because I have this revelation of God, and I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Gentiles, and so forth. He says, because of those things, what has happened? He says that because of that, we know, because he's been appointed, in verse 11, a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for this cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed of whom I have believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. So Paul says, hold fast to that confession of faith that we have made in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has called us. And we must know in whom we have believed. As a believer, and you know the Word of God, I'm sure you know in whom you have believed. But it's more important, you see, we know that we know Jesus Christ personally, the one in whom we have believed and have received these ultimate truths. Because you see, Jesus, you remember, he says he's truth personified. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And so if we're going to stand today, we must, of course, have our minds well trained in the Word of God, and we must then hold fast our confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is not the result of believing certain doctrines, though doctrines are important, we need to know them. But at the same time, that's not what brings salvation. A sinner is saved because he believes in a person. He believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. That's what saves us as individuals. For there's no other name given under heaven whereby a man must be saved except the name of Jesus. And of course, the name of Jesus is a name which is given, you know, great power and great exaltation by God the Father, because he has given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus, that every knee should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. So we believe in a person. It's not a doctrine. It's not a church. It is, we believe in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is not a dead martyr, but he's a living Savior. He's alive. He lives. He lives on the right hand of the Father. And he actually is reigning. But one day, of course, he's coming back to this world to reign upon this world as king. But Jesus Christ is not a dead martyr. He's a living Savior. For he rose, of course, again, according to the Scriptures, and has passed into the heavens. Hebrews chapter number 4 of the book of Hebrews. And verse number 14, we see these wonderful words. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, not just a high priest, we have a great high priest. We have one who is above all others. In fact, he is the creator. He is the one who breathed into the nostrils of man, and man became a living soul, the word of God says. So we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God, he says, let us hold fast our profession. And so because we know that we have believed in him, because we know that he is a living Savior, because we know that he's in heaven today, we are to hold fast our confession to the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's grace given to us before the world began is now made manifest or clear, of course, by the appearing of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and rendered, of course, it as absolutely not operative, or made it no longer, you see, a threat for believers, because he's brought life and immortality to light, of course, according to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he's brought these things to view, and now we can believe and trust in the living God. Because, you see, Paul held fast to Jesus Christ, he could give us one of the greatest confessions of faith ever made in history and in the Word of God. 2 Timothy, remember chapter 4 and verse number 7 of 2 Timothy 4, Paul says, I have fought a good fight. He says, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's one of the great confessions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ had done for him. And because he was holding fast to the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusting him completely, we see that he could say, I have fought a good fight. And how wonderful that is, isn't it? Notice those words, have fought, have finished, have kept, which indicates completed action, but with continuing results in the life of the Apostle Paul. So he says, hold fast to our profession of faith. And then we see, thirdly, he says, to hold fast our combined treasures in Christ. In verse number 14, he says, think of what we have and think of that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Hold fast to our combined treasures. You see, God has given the deposit of spiritual truth. Spiritual truth, of course, to Paul and to Timothy. In 1 Timothy, in chapter 6 and verse number 20, notice what Paul says to Timothy. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to our trust. Isn't it? It's marvelous and it's wonderful to think about it. That God himself has committed to men like Paul, like Timothy, like others today who are proclaiming the word of God, has committed unto them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That God has trusted man with the gospel of Jesus. Simply amazing. Now we are to trust him, but to think about God having trusted these men. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. And he says, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of signs falsely so called. That's a continual battle, you see, not with true science. But the continual battle is with false science and with those who are just issuing vain or empty babblings, words which have no meaning. In fact, that's how folks try to captivate people. Sometimes folks who are pretty well educated, but not they have knowledge, but don't have the wisdom that Daniel had this morning, if you remember, in the Sunday school lesson. But we see that. A lot of those times when they're intellectual, but they don't have true knowledge, they just have knowledge of the world, not the knowledge of God, not the wisdom of God in their lives. They try to intimidate us with big words. which we sometimes can't understand. And because of that, that intimidates us and causes us to maybe to think in the wrong direction. So we have to be careful about those vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so-called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So we have to be careful that we don't fall into that trap that scientists set for us, who are, a lot of them are atheists, and they set this trap for us and we fall right into it. Why? Because we do not know the teaching of the Word of God, and we're not thinking about the spiritual truth, you see, that God has given to you and I as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's entrusted it to us. He's entrusted to the church the truth of His Word, that we may continue to proclaim it. You see, Timothy was to keep guard. Of course, with the help of the Holy Spirit, Timothy was to keep and guard by the Holy Ghost, which dwells within the child of God. That good thing is the treasure of the good news of salvation, revealed, of course, in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. Oh, in the book of Colossians. In Colossians, I believe it is chapter number 2, and verse 2 and 3 says, that their hearts might be comforted, be knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding. Think of all the riches that we have in Christ. And to the full assurance of understanding, it says, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father in Christ. Notice what he says in verse 3, in whom are hid the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If you really want to know, in Christ are hid all the treasures, not just some, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So important it is. So we want to hold fast to that. Hold fast to those combined treasures that we have in Jesus Christ as a believer. It's wonderful. Think about for just a moment. Think about yourself personally before you were saved. And then think about how that Jesus Christ in His love and mercy and grace reached down. And He reached down in love and mercy and grace, and He saved you by His grace, and He set you on the solid rock, and then He taught you all these truths of the Word of God. And so we now have, we have knowledge and we have wisdom of the things of God. It's just amazing what God has revealed unto us. Well, let's take the Apostle Paul, for example. Maybe that's a better example. But I'm sure you remember yourself when you were so lost without God, without hope in this world, and then what God's done and how you have grown and matured as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, all because that you simply put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and the precious Word of God. But think about Paul, who was, of course, Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus persecuting believers. He hated believers. He hated the early church. And of course, he was going about with warrants in his pockets, of course, to get hold of believers and put them in jail. And many times, of course, even witness their execution, as he did, of course, the execution of Stephen. But so we see that's the place Paul was, completely blinded by the God of this world, without hope at all. And of course, sincerely trying to destroy the work of Christ. That was his position. But then, of course, one day, you see, by God's grace, he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. And he not only saw him, but he was blinded, you remember. And then, of course, his eyes were opened. He was scripturally baptized. And then, of course, went aside into Arabia for 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe himself, teaching him these great truths of the Word of God. Just imagine where Saul of Tarsus came to become Paul the Apostle, the great man of God, the Apostle to the Gentiles, the one who, of course, has given us all these truths concerning the church and the conduct of the church. All this was given to us through the Apostle Paul, revealing these mysteries that were hid in ages past. It's amazing. All the treasures that Paul had in his heart. And I trust that you and I have those same treasures in our hearts, that we'll hold fast to what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll hold fast to those sound words that he speaks about in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 13. And then, folks, lastly, but so important, hold fast. We need to hold fast our confidence in His coming. Because, you see, it's like it was in Peter's time when Peter wrote about it. He said that there are these people who deny the second coming of Christ. They even think that the world has always remained the same from the very beginning, which is simply a lie. It hasn't. It changes all the time. But we see that they do that to keep people from knowing the truth about the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back to this world. Now, I know He's coming to rapture the church out first. We know about the rapture of the church, and we know that believers will be called up in there to meet the Lord in there and to be forever with the Lord as believers in Christ. But then Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth to rule and reign for 1,000 years. So we need to hold fast. Don't waver on that. So many people think that because He's delayed His coming, you see, as Peter talks about, that He's not coming again. Get that out of your mind. We need to be thinking like the Thessalonica believers of old. We need to be thinking about the fact that Jesus could come at any moment, at any time. And we need to be ready. We need to be waiting. We need to be working, of course, until the Lord Jesus Christ. But we need to hold fast, you see, in the confidence that Jesus Christ is coming again. And Paul held that fast himself, didn't he? Because in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8, he says very, very plainly, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love His appearing. He never lost, even though he was mistreated. I mean, you can't imagine. You have to read the Word of God. You have to read Corinthians and some of these other passages to see how Paul was so mistreated and how he was in prison on many occasions and shipwrecked and in the deep and, you know, completely hounded by false teachers all the days of his life, actually. But in spite of all that, in spite of all the persecution that had come from the Roman Empire and from others and from Jews who were legalists, and of course he was mistreated in every way that you could think. But in spite of that, he still knew that Jesus Christ was coming again. And we need to have that same faith. We need to hold fast our confidence in His coming again. Because, you see, that's the only hope we have. I know you've got your hope in political parties. I know that you've got your hope in some fabulous preacher. I know that you have your hope. And when you think about it, all those things that we've said is no hope. There's no hope in those things. There's no hope in anything. The only hope we have as a believer today is that Jesus Christ is coming again. And we ought to be praying for it. We ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We ought to be praying for the peace of the United States of America and of Washington. We need to be praying about these things. But we also, at the same time, need to be looking for Jesus Christ to come. The Word of God says, look up. We don't have time to look up, do we? Sometimes the Lord has to slow us down a little bit so that we'll look up. Because we're always doing the other thing. We're looking down. I don't know. I don't know what it is that people look, because they get depressed, I guess. You ain't gonna find much looking down. You might find a penny. Because both, you ever notice lately? I've noticed for the last 20 years anyway. I know my last year, I was working in the school system and so forth. You could go through the halls and you can pick up pennies. Them kids wouldn't even pick up pennies. And now you can go anywhere and you'll see a penny laying around. Nobody will pick them up. Even those real, if they're brand new, they won't pick them up. I've never seen anything like it. So I don't know what you're going to find looking down. That's what I'm trying to get at. You're not going to find much looking down. And you're not going to find much looking just out at this world because it's in such a terrible, terrible mess. You see, the only hope we have is looking up, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking up. You see, because that is the hope of every child of God. If you don't have your hope in the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great God and the great King, you're probably not saved. Because Titus, in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, he says, looking, see, look up for your redemption to all time. Looking for that blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So we ought to be looking for this blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ. And then in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 11, the Word of God says, behold. Ah, important, isn't it? Very important. Behold, I come quickly. What does he say? Hold fast which thou hast. You see, God has given us so many good things, hasn't he? And he's just granted us by grace. He's given us salvation and all the things that we know as a believer. And so, and he's given us the teachings of the Apostle Paul like he did Timothy. So what is he saying? Hold fast which thou hast. You have those things. You know about these things. Hold on to them dearly. Don't let anything take them away from you. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. So we want to hold fast, folks, to the things which God has revealed unto us through these great men of God, through the Scriptures. Just as Paul was telling Timothy, hold fast to those sound words because they're so important. Hold fast to those things that we might be what God wants us to be. And certainly, if you haven't been saved, that you might be saved by His wonderful and marvelous grace. Go sing a verse or two of an invitational hymn this morning. If you're here without the Lord Jesus Christ, may we encourage you to come. We show you from the Word of God how you can be saved and know that you're saved for time and eternity. If you're here as an unbeliever, if you're here as a believer, God's spoken to your heart, you need to come. You come as we sing this morning from the hymnal.
Number 385.
Stand as we sing the first and last stanza, please.